This is the Wonder Life Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Ritter. Each week, I interview game changers, thought leaders, and functional health and wellness experts to inspire us to light up our lives so we can go out and light up this world. You may follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Wonder Health, and that is Wonder with a U.
Today, I'd like to highlight a few of our sponsors who will be joining us at the Wonder Life Wellness and Beauty Expo on April 6th. Pure Haven's mission is to educate consumers about pure, safe, alternative personal care choices that empower people to live the healthiest lifestyle possible. They obsess about ingredients so you don't have to. Handcrafted in their very own USDA organic certified facility here in the USA, each batch is freshly made and shipped directly to your door. Pure Haven products are 100% free of toxins, guaranteed. Sacred Owl Wellness is an integrative health spa and studio and brings all of your health and wellness services under one roof. They are a team of integrated health practitioners offering a variety of holistic skincare, massage, nutrition, herbal wellness, yoga, flow arts, and much more. They believe that a client is not just a collection of body systems, but a whole being. Their goal is to offer a comforting yet stimulating atmosphere to renew the body and mind. Dr. Sears is a naturopathic doctor who believes in working to investigate and treat the root cause of your symptoms, rather than suppressing them. She believes your symptoms are your body's way of communicating some imbalance, and she will work with you to uncover these messages and treat them. Dr. Sears uses botanical medicine, clinical nutrition and supplementation, traditional Chinese medicine theory, B12 injections, cupping therapy, and the foundations of health to therapeutically address your health concerns. Dr. Blair is a family physician who has researched and applied industrial hemp cannabidiol, CBD, to clinical care for patients. He is positively influencing the lives and health of so many people. We are thrilled to have Dr. Blair join us on the podcast today and at the Wonder Health Summit on April 6th. Enjoy this enlightening conversation with Dr. Philip Blair from Elixinol.
So, you know, what is the endocannabinoid system?
Well, we have within our bodies a system that we've had for millennia that really is a master controller and a regulator of our other systems. It actually modulates our neurotransmitters, our immunologic system, our hormones, even our metabolism. It's about how we sleep, how we eat, our mood change, our behavior. And it's a complex system that we have distributed entirely through the body. It has different areas of concentrations, but in general, it's found in every location of the body. And it does some amazing work. But it's not the sort of in-your-face as a wham, you know, you get this kind of reaction. It's more of a subtle maintaining homeostasis and maintaining balance that we get this particular benefit for. And when we get illnesses, then it can throw that system off balance. And we're seeing more and more endocannabinoid deficiency types of problems that we see associations with either high levels or low levels of the endocannabinoid system, so that there are more receptors or there are less receptors or there's more transmitters or less transmitters, or there are more substances that transport these particular molecules around within the body. So quite a complex system that's touching on all the other systems of the body with a master regulatory functionality.
That is fascinating. So many things are coming into my head. So one, is it part of the nervous system or is it its own system?
Well, it is, it's part of the nervous system and it's part of the immunologic system. But you know that the nervous system is very closely connected with the hormone system. And so it's connecting those two areas. There's this interchange. I look at it as a translator for what's going on outside the body and delivering it inside the body, as well as what's inside the body and how that's being translated to the outside. So it's overlapping on all of the other systems.
That is wild. So I feel like, you know, a few years ago, it's probably been 5-10 years now, that kale, like, people just have started talking about how, you know, eating kale or turmeric or whatever, stuff like that. I feel like the endocannabinoid system is this like new thing that we've just discovered, but it's obviously been with us since the beginning of time.
Oh yeah, it all actually goes back to sea squirts. It's that primitive that it's come up all of throughout these millennia of evolution.
So why are we just now having this conversation about the endocannabinoid system and the fact that we have like all these issues?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the politics of the age. You know, in the early 1900s, and then in 1937, there was concern about these substances, and it got and particularly the hemp products and the cannabis kind of got caught up in the politics of the time, and it became, although it was part of the pharmacopoeia for the United States and many other countries, and all the real intensive research had not been done with it. And as a result of this negative publicity and propaganda, then there was discouragement about doing any research into any of these molecules. And that's the way I interpret it. And then in 1970, you have the war on drugs with Richard Nixon and a number of entities that were trying to really prove that how bad cannabis was for the body. And so the funding of the National Institute of Drug Abuse was almost entirely in finding adverse effects of cannabis. And so beneficial effects were actually not very well funded. I recently learned that NIDA has about $1 billion in funding that they distribute, whereas the National Institute of Health has about $30 billion. But any of the studies that go on cannabinoids actually have to go through NIDA, and NIDA has a single source for providing those cannabinoids. And so it's a very narrow focus, a limited amount of money that's attributed to it, and they don't have a broad spectrum approach. Now, ironically, the Department of Health and Human Services, a couple of physicians within that group, actually did some research in the early 2000s, and they found that this terrific benefit that came from cannabidiol, and they actually submitted a patent that was recorded in 2003 for the neuroprotective effects of cannabidiol and other cannabinoid-related species.
So what is cannabidiol?
Cannabidiol.
I mean, that was a tongue twister. I mean, I've said it before and I've never said it properly. Cannabidiol. So what is it and how does it affect, like, what role does it play with the endocannabinoid?
Well, cannabidiol is commonly referred to as CBD. It's a very simple fat molecule. It has 21 carbons, and it it comes from a couple different plants. Now, we're fairly familiar with it with regard to cannabis, but it's also found in some other plant. In particular, naturally, I'm blocking on that right at the moment, but flax is found in the fibers of flax, which may be why the healing property of different types of flax types of bandages has been so valuable throughout the centuries that go on. As a simple molecule, it seems to connect up with the endocannabinoid system and make a lot of the connections, as well as upregulate the endocannabinoid system so that it helps restore the body and rebalance this endocannabinoid system that we have. But the endocannabinoid system is really only one small part of what cannabidiol does within the body, because it's often referred to as a promiscuous molecule in that it's making connections with all the other systems of the body. We talked about earlier the immune cells, the neurotransmitters, the hormonal systems, and it's making connections with dopamine receptors, serotonin receptors, glutamate, ion channels. I've amassed a list of over 180 separate mechanism. You know, Andrea, it goes right down to the nuclear level where CBD is making connections to modulate the types of cytokines that are being released in a cascade type of fashion from the nucleus of inflammatory cells. So shifting that away from inflammatory type to an anti-inflammatory type of cytokine.
That is brilliant. So we're going to have to break it down for my mind. What is a cytokine?
A cytokine is it's a signaling substance, a chemical that inflammatory cells release, immune cells release to signal other cells. And they use that signal to cause, in the case of inflammation, increased redness. It may stimulate some degree of pain, or it may recruit other inflammatory cells to the region. On the other hand, there are anti-inflammatory cytokines that come from these particular immune cells, and that causes a reduction in pain, and it causes many of those immune cells to go away and not be recruited to a particular area.
Oh my gosh. I like have a flood of questions. Two things I definitely want to cover. One is how CBD helps people or doesn't help people with cancer. Cause I had a friend who was going through her process with chemo and her doctor told her not to take CBD, but he told her she could take cannabis, which was interesting. And the other thing is I want to talk about how CBD helps to regulate our sleep, because I think that's so huge for people. So many people are taking all these drugs to go to sleep and are addicted and can't get off. And it's like, oh my Lord. And then, you know, the anxiety and stuff. But I have that big question about the cancer piece, because that to me is so counterintuitive. And I don't know if that's just that the doctor just doesn't know, or maybe the doctor knows something I don't, because I'm clearly not a medical professional.
Well, I think it has to do with some confusion about the function of cannabidiol. We know that it's an immune modulator. And because it's an immune modulator, then the doctor may be thinking that it is going to interfere with the body's immune. In fact, CBD actually enhances the effects of the chemo and radiation therapy. It stimulates any sort of the immune type of response that goes on with the cancer attack. It actually regulates some of the T regulator cells that are involved in cancer. But I think more importantly, it's protecting normal tissues while enhancing the chemotherapy and its inflammatory effect on cancer cells. And this is one of those paradoxes where CBD is an anti-inflammatory agent on the one hand, but it's inflammatory in cancer cells. Then at the same time, you have where CBD prevents the spread of cancer, both by extension as well as metastasis. It prevents the formation of extra blood vessels into the area of a tumor, and it induces cancer cell death using some particular mechanism inside the cell, working actually to the level of the mitochondria and some of the metabolics that are involved.
Oh my God, this is like, amen. Thank you. I really needed this information.
But there's more. There's more.
Oh my God, we could talk all day, but you have 10 minutes. So let's hear it.
So the more part of it is that CBD is superb. superb as an analgesic to help people with pain. And no doubt the cancer patients are suffering or typically suffering with pain, or they're suffering with nausea or vomiting from the chemotherapy. It treats that. And as you, we talked about, we mentioned a little bit, we'll go into more detail, but it helps with sleep as well. And mood, it relieves depression and anxiety, it has a calming effect. So absolutely, CBD should be used, I think, in all cases of cancer for patients who are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy, as well as an adjunct for the use of narcotics or other medications that patients are using. I think it'd have enormous benefits. I had a conversation with a pharmacist in Wales recently, and he's telling me that the oncologists are referring patients to him and his clinic in order to find out more about CBD and use CBD because they're having such good results. And in my personal experience in helping people with cancer, it's been a great adjunct in helping them go through some very, very difficult time period when they're suffering with cancer. Now, you brought up another really good point, and it happens with cancer too, really great sleep problems. So interesting with regard to CBD and sleep, because CBD is actually something that wakes you up and gives you energy and alertness and cognitive clarity. So you're thinking better, you're clear, but at the same time, it actually helps you sleep. It seems to provide a relaxation and a shift so that you can go to sleep when you're ready to go to sleep, and it improves the quality of sleep by putting you into stage four sleep. Now, that's your deep and restful sleep that you get the recovery and the resilience that you need. When you have it's the deep sleep. It's sometimes called stage three, stage four. Stage four. But in that sleep, it's so restful that you can get just a few hours and get an excellent recovery, even though you haven't slept for a long period of time. I think it's the ideal agent for when you're traveling, for jet lag. It allows you to recover very quickly from the stresses, as well as when you're traveling, when you're feeling that terrible fatigue, CBD will bring you back into your game and then facilitate sleep when you're ready for sleep.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, I started a juice company 5 years ago and I thought juice was like Jesus and like would heal everything. And I love juice, but once I got hip on CBD, and Christy Thiel is the one who introduced me to Lixanol and just the world of CBD. Like, it really has changed my life in so many ways. And I don't feel like I have like that many issues, but like I'm a human on the planet, and it really has changed. It's changed so many things for me because it's like calmed my system down in ways that I didn't even know that I was crazy. And, you know, I think you and I talked a little bit the other day, you know, I've talked to some people about, you know, well, I've tried CBD, CBD doesn't work for me, or it hasn't worked. And, you know, you had a good answer for that. And granted, like not every supplement is for everyone. And CBD is a natural, do you guys classify it as a food supplement? Is that really how it's looked at?
It is. It is a food supplement.
So for those people who say, you know, that it doesn't work, it's not that it's not working. It's that maybe they're just not aware of what it's actually doing. Is that true to say?
Well, I think that's one possibility that there's several things that might be going on for somebody who feels like they're not responding. One is they're not aware of the changes that are going on around them, and that the changes that are happening within them. I often have family members try to observe the patient and try to have individuals or patients get feedback from their family members about the changes they experience. But as you described, Andre, it's really life transforming, but it's not like a smack in your face. It's more of letting you be all the person that you can be. Now, if you're completely normal and you take CBD, you might not feel anything because there's really nothing to correct or bring back to normal. But if you've got any kind of impairment, it helps a lot for those different issues. And so often we're really not aware of how they're interfering. Now, typically, in a few minutes, I'm going to have a conversation with a client for their first dose. And with their first dose, I'm going to talk them through the different changes that they might benefit. One of the barriers that you do run into with patients who are using CBD who don't respond, it may be that they're deficient in omega-3s. It's really important to have that. Or they're not taking enough CBD. Because CBD is so safe, I have people double the dose right when I'm talking to them until they find a level that is effective for them, or they're feeling some of the benefits that come along with it. On the other hand, the worst that you're going to really experience from CBD is fatigue and the most that it's going to cause.
So that's a good question, because I know you have to go and we have 4 minutes of your precious, amazing time. The dosing is always a big question for people. So if people are in an acute situation, I tell them, you know, I tell them I'm not a doctor or a practitioner, but I tell them that I would, as Christy has told me, to maybe up that dose a little bit. So like do, you know, the regular dose for a few days to see how they feel, like 3 times a day, but then to elevate that. But someone going through a cancer situation, or, you know, I've just had foot surgery, like that's when I noticed that CBD was a game changer, when I had foot surgery and I healed so much faster because I was pumping 90 milligrams in like a couple times a day. How do people figure out that dose? Or is it kind of a self-regulated thing?
It's self-regulated. It's unique to your situation and your level of inflammation. So when you have a steady state, then you may have one dose. But if you get a cold or an illness, then you may need to increase that. I always have people start with the serving size that's on the bottle, but I have them double it or even triple it very quickly to find that beneficial area where they're feeling the effects, they're feeling the impact. When you start to feel those types of benefits, where the clarity of mind, the relaxation, increase in mobility, the changes in your voice and in your vision, when those things start to happen, you're getting the effects of CBD and you're getting positive things going on. You have to gauge those against those symptoms that you do have. But increase the dose to whatever level of it's effective for you.
Dr. Blair, I am so thankful for you, and I am so excited you're going to be at the Wonder Health, the Functional Health Summit here on April 6th, and you're going to blow it out of the water and share even more. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you for coming here and just what you're doing on the planet to elevate the consciousness around wellness and using this amazing product, this plant, to heal. So thank you.
It's a pleasure to talk with you and for you to share this information with so many viewers and listeners.
Thanks, sir. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.